This episode of the Awesome Hour is brought to you by Concept Beard Co. Put it in your beard. Beard oils and fonts, handcrafted for the discerning gentleman. Go to conceptbeard.com and use awesome at checkout and save yourself 10%.
Hey, on tonight's show, we're joined by two-peat guest, only Gavin ever. You may remember him from two episodes ago. He's back. He's hanging out. He brought a friend, though. Tonight we got... Oh, let's do this right. We got the man about town, the architect of the Archer era.
Correct.
Did I say it right? I want to say era of Archer.
It is era of Archer.
That's what it is. Damn, son of a bitch. I fucked it up. We got Thaddeus Archer the third. Ivan, yes, I am a TA3 guy. Hit the drop.
Welcome to the Awesome Hour.
I am the smartest man alive.
This is the source for all the things you didn't or even want to know, including all our bad life choices and mistakes, so you can stay awesome.
The Awesome Hour.
Hey, what's up? I'm Alec.
Je m'appelle Ivan.
I'm Gavin.
And we're also joined by...
Thaddeus Archer III, the paragon of style, the guru of guile, the man whose suits drive all your mothers wild.
Do you know how hard it was to spit out that fucking...
I saw that.
I'm like, yeah. But I got it out.
You didn't get PWA correct.
You said PMA.
PMA.
Did I say PMA?
Yeah.
Well, that's all right.
CM Punk fan over here. Anyways, Thad, Gavin. Gavin, welcome back. I'm benching you to the side, though, tonight,
because
you brought this sexy motherfucker with you. Where do you get your suits, sir? That is number one on the docket.
I used to, actually, for the longest time, it was a trade secret. I didn't want to let people know.
Then don't.
But at the same time, I really want to get sponsored by the company I get most of my suits from. I know I probably won't through the podcast here, but...
You never know.
This one right here. I mean, if you look, novelty suits up online.
Yeah.
Oppa Suits is sort of the biggest brand.
Yeah.
Lots of people wear it. Steve-O, it's a big fan of him. He wears a lot of them. A lot of my other suits, though, so the whole thing about the novelty suits where it sort of began was they were called bachelor party suits.
Okay.
And in England, a bunch of lads would get on their crazy suits and go have a bachelor party down at the pub.
Let's go drink some warm milk.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of began there. There's places in the UK, and that's where I started getting my suits initially, was over the pond.
Bala.
And bring them in. And so, like, some of my suits I get from a place called Stag Suits in Germany and a couple other places, and I just kind
of... A couple of Deutsches there.
I am always researching suits. Eventually, none of them are actually custom, even though I've claimed it numerous times.
Yeah.
But I eventually will get custom suits done, but I'm just waiting to find that right seamstress. That suits are ridiculously hard and time-consuming.
100%.
So, like, I know girls or guys even that make all the wrestlers' gear.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, yeah, I might think of it. And then it's like, oh, suit patterns. It's easy to make, like, a spandex unitard, but
yeah,
a full suit with a tie. And, like, that's my thing, is I have to have... the jacket, the pants, the tie.
You're looking good, though.
So, yeah.
Reminisce Jimmy Hart, maybe. Even,
yes, yeah.
That you met, but we're going to get to that later. Hey, Thad, what's your origin story? Where do you come from? Your story? You're the commish of the PWA Edmonton. I heard you just might have turned heel. We'll talk about that a little later. But where did you start from the grassroots to the top of the kingdom? How'd you get there?
Oh, that's a long storied history. Like I said before, I was bitten by a radioactive Don Cherry.
That's weird. But I like
sucker
it.
Sucker punched by bubbles, and it just kind of all came together.
It came together. I like it.
How I really started in wrestling, like, there's sort of two origin stories. So Thaddeus didn't... years and years ago, I didn't know how to get into wrestling, so I started a wrestling company that did backyard wrestling at a bar.
Were you a juggalo?
Not a juggalo. I listened to ICP. I had listened, but I've never painted my face.
Yet.
Yeah, I've watched Stranglemania 1 and 2 and lots of Juggalo Championship wrestling.
Some good wrestling, though.
Yeah, no, there's some fun stuff in there. You should watch Stranglemania if you ever get a chance. It's them doing commentary to old, like, Terry Funk, Mick Foley. Hardcore Japanese matches and stuff.
Yeah, the death matches.
So it's like Cactus Sack and Drunk... Terry Funk or something like that. That's what they
Terry
call
Drunk.
Or, yeah, or something
yeah,
like that.
Terry Drunk and Cactus
just
Sack.
Very suiting if you think
so
about
I didn't know any better. I didn't know how to get into things properly. I always wanted to be part of wrestling. And so we did this. And at one point, I was playing a couple characters, and I was playing a mask character that did his own ring entrance.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd grab it, and it was Mr. Anarchy, and I had an anarchy sign spray painted on my back and wearing a mask you couldn't tell my face.
That's punk rock, my friend.
And it looked sort of like a mix between punk and luchador. And I do, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, Anarchy Productions proudly presents to you the soon-to-be EBW Champion of the World. And then I'd rip off, that's of course Road Dogg, and then I'd rip off Mr. Anderson with Mr. Anarchy.
That's amazing.
Anarchy. And one of the people in the, I was actually the ring announcer for a local actual wrestling company, saw me. He didn't want to be the ring announcer anymore. He wanted to move up and be the commissioner or general manager. So he had to go out and find a replacement for him. Brought me in as a ring announcer. So that's how I started actual professional wrestling, as a ring announcer. Did that for a while and just found that, like...
So the love of wrestling was always there.
Oh, always there. And I'm a closet wrestling fan. My father hated wrestling, so...
Really? Okay.
I never... Sad to say this. I never had any of the merchandise. I never had the Stone Cold shirt. I was all through Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Straight through to, you know, the Austin era. I never had any of that stuff because...
Never got to go to indie shows.
No. I grew up in a small town, and my dad would never have taken
really?
Me to. Yeah, so never got to experience any of this. And when I, you know, came to Edmonton...
You were just like, fuck it, I'm diving head first into this.
Well, and that's the thing, is I saw this metalhead guy that would, like, literally start fights in bars, but they were, like, stage fights, and they're doing promos, and that's why I was like, that's my ticket, and I jumped on and actually made a company out of it. And we even had a belt made by Wildcat Belts that makes all the WWE ones now, like the US and everything. We had, like, it was... Everything, but it was like Fight Club because there was a commission. Well, there is a commission, but wrestling's no longer a part of it. But the Edmonton Combative Sports Commission was trying to find us because we were doing this. It was legal. And then we were doing it with bars, and AGLC was trying to find us because we were doing it without a wrestling license from the Edmonton Combative Sports Commission.
You guys were fucking badass.
Oh, it was fun. Like, but at the same time, looking back at it and what we were actually doing there, it wasn't wrestling. You know, we weren't trained properly. The guy who did it had, like, been to a heart camp and learned some stuff, and he was great, but, like, we weren't doing real wrestling. You need the ring, and you need to learn how to fall properly.
You need to learn how to take a bump.
So I got to learn that through the company I was with at the, you know, when I got into ring announcing, there was an opportunity to train before shows or someone had a ring. Actually, Teddy Hart had a ring out of this place, so I go and learn because I wanted to learn, because in my mind I've always wanted to be a manager. I love, it's such a nuanced sort of off the side role in wrestling, but it can be so important. And
no, you need it. Like, when you have somebody like a Brock Lesnar, they need a Paul Heyman. Yeah. I don't know if CM Punk needed a Paul Heyman.
No,
but Paul Heyman brought him in. Did you made him a thing?
Yep.
Top three managers in your opinion? Who are they?
Top. Well,
and we'll stick with WWF.
I'll go across the board because I've researched them like crazy. Obviously, number one with me is always going to be Heenan.
Yep.
Bobby the Brain Heenan is number one. I pattern some of what I do on him, you know, even like when you watch just the way he would bump. That's like, you've got to be all out there. Because the manager's not going to get bumped or thrown around a lot. So when you do, you got to make
it
look
like it.
Godzilla just hit you. So. Yeah. Heenan, Heyman, or Paul E. Dangerously. Yeah. I was watching, and WCW.
Yeah.
The Dangerous Alliance. That was... My dad had just gotten TBS. He got cable, and this comes on. I'm like, there's a whole other wrestling. There's WCW,
what,
and there's
the
Paul
fuck?
Heyman. Yeah, so that Paul Heyman, and then the last one is always tough for me. I probably have to say Jimmy Hart. Jim Cornette's in there, but sometimes Jimmy, man, I don't know.
Why didn't Paul Bear make it? I grew up a diehard Undertaker fan, so why not Paul Bear?
You know what? Have you ever seen any of his Percy Pringle stuff?
No.
When his hair was dyed blonde and he was managing Stunning Steve Austin?
Yep.
Yeah, like, he was a great manager. I have nothing against him. If I pattern or take anything, it'd be less from Paul Heyman and more from Percy Pringle.
Fair enough.
He'd be, like, in the top 10 for sure, though.
I guess Paul Heyman, or Paul Bear is very niche.
Yeah, but in his own right, like, to do that voice and to sell that character. And if you look at where he came from and then all of a sudden it's like 180 and he's Paul Bear, it just blows your mind.
That's
like,
awesome. Yeah. So Jimmy Hart, you got to meet him.
Yes.
How was that?
It was good.
As somebody who's a manager fanboy, as someone who wants to be the manager, how was that?
It was good. I wish I could have just sat and picked his brain more. You know, it was like, it was at an event, and he'd just done the evening with Ric Flair, and it was the end of the night, and he had gone through everyone, and I waited patiently and sort of hung around. So it's kind of right at the end, just had basically a little talk with him, said, I'm a manager. He loved my style. I think I was wearing the suit.
I think you were wearing that one.
Yeah, the suit I'm wearing now. He loved it, but we didn't get, like... I didn't get to pick his brain and ask him any questions. At the same time, to get to meet him and to watch him, like, when you watch him even up on stage, how old he is and everything, he never skips a beat. He's still got it all. Like, he can just talk a mile a minute, and
he's still got
he's Jimmy, it, man. It, he's like, he's not lost any of it.
It was nuts, like, because I was working with them that night, and, like, I had to drive Jimmy around to the sound check and then over to the dinner with Rick. And, you know, he's just, you know, so quiet and calm.
Yeah.
And then he gets a phone call. He's like, oh, excuse me here for a second, with his little southern accent. Yeah. And he's like, okay. Runs through the date, runs through whatever. And he just explodes and cuts this promo for a radio station.
That's something. He just turns it on like that.
He just turned it on. He's like, hey, it's Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South, and you can catch me at the Monster Truck Show down at Podunkin, wherever, right? And that, and he's like, is that good enough for y'all? Okay. Thank you. And that was it.
And then he's just quiet in the back
again. And then he's just, like, back to telling me stories about, like, going to Japan or just being around in the circuit or, like, coming up here with the Stampede, like, circuit too, right? So he wasn't up here much, but, like, just hearing all these stories from him was really cool too. But, like, I wish Thad could have been in my spot there for that most of the day because, like...
Just like, I would have picked this
and like he was
Thad,
cool enough
to
do the promo.
You got
to
drive him around. And you got to answer by Gavin. Yeah. Okay, your name is Gavin now.
Yeah, so...
Dude, like, that's amazing.
Yeah, no, like, and Jimmy cut that promo with Eddie Rude.
Yeah, yeah, there's a one of the local wrestlers paid for a promo with Jimmy Hart, so...
hey, man, we're all on Cameo now, so let's be serious.
Hey, whatever, it's cleared, man.
Because
another
friend of ours was sabotaging the promo in the background while it was happening, so it was beautiful. I love indie wrestling.
On both
that's awesome,
too, both takes.
Yes, yes, yes.
So as somebody who grew up loving wrestling but had to hide it, to dive... full face into it, start your own thing, and now you're the commish of Edmonton for PWA.
Yes.
So you love independent. How long have you been in the Edmonton independent wrestling scene?
I think we're coming up at about a decade.
10 years.
Yeah,
hey,
almost.
The big X.
Yeah, I want to say 9, 10. I never keep track of things. I always like kick myself. I should write things down or keep track of things. But I know, like, ring announcing include, like, when I got into actual.
Did you ref at one point too?
Yeah, I put a picture up recently.
I saw that, yeah.
So what would happen is when we work out of town shows, like we go to Rimby or go to Red Deer or go somewhere else that sort of wasn't in the main circuit.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to do something different that night. Someone would want to try ring announcing. Or there'd be some local guy there that, you know, owns the Napa dealership that wants to be a ring announcer for a night, but he's absolutely horrible because he's got no personality. So
he owns a Napa.
Yeah, he owns a Napa or something.
He
sells tractors.
Show and, you know,
yeah.
So.
So whatever, they let him do that. And it was that night, you know, someone said, you want to be a ref. And so through, you know, I probably 5 times, maybe 10, I was a referee. And I enjoyed it, but honestly, hardest job in pro wrestling.
Yeah, hey?
Hardest job in pro wrestling.
And why do you say that?
You don't realize what they have to do. You are the communication tool for everyone. Like, you communicate for the wrestlers between each other.
Yeah.
Like, if something's going to come up that's sort of big and they've kind of lost track in their minds, because some guys can just call it as they go, and, you know, sometimes you grab a hole and you call it. And then sometimes, you know, you have something big coming up and you're on the other side of the ring. Well, the ref's checking on you. Go tell him this. Well, the ref goes, checks on him, tells him that. Oh, you got to remember all this. You got to be there. You got to be down and doing, like, a proper count. Like, in the process of just falling down kills you, like, over and over again. Like, I've seen refs wear knee pads underneath
their pants.
Their pants. And counting and making it, like, look dramatic. It's all on the ref.
Yeah.
And then if something's happening on the outside or you're going too long, you know, the ring announcer or someone ringside is going to be talking to the ref saying, okay, go home, wrap it up. And so, like, you're kind of essential to everything.
Yeah. Did you watch the Hot Ones with Stone Cold where he tells a story about how he shit himself?
Yes.
That was amazing. Yes.
I love those stories. My favorite is when Andre shit on Bam Bam Bigelow. Did you see that one?
What?
Bam Bam talking?
No.
Bam Bam just basically Andre drank a lot.
Yeah.
And he just lost himself. Just let himself go. He sat on him. And
not a whole lot to hide in that spin.
No, and Bam Bam was never a big fan of Andre after that. But he's laughing in the
shit.
Clip. You have to. Yeah, no shit. Lots of shit.
Hey-o.
Yeah.
And Andre the Giant size shit, too. Mm-hmm.
Right? That's like a fist size.
That's like a bucket.
So it was like drinking shit, so it was like diarrhea.
Oh, but, that's a thing, hey? Yeah. Okay, cool. So you've been in the circuit now 10 years. You've risen to the top. How did you become commish from the announcer? Is that just something that you actively pushed for until they finally said, Thad, shut up, you're commish now?
No.
Because you're commish of Edmonton. Is there a commish of Calgary then, too?
There is. With PWA, there's a...
Can you explain PWA for those that aren't in the Edmonton, Alberta region?
Prairie Wrestling Alliance. I'm new to them, actually. I just started with them in January.
Okay.
They've been around for 18 years. They are sort of like the one company that sort of like Kurt that started PWA, he worked with Stampede in its dying days and worked with Bruce Hart and all of them and sort of the road agent and helped book shows. So he took that and with Stampede sort of waning, you know, the last sort of, because Stampede had a lot of, after the big Stampede, there was a lot of little bits of Stampede.
Because if you look at independent wrestling, there's a lot of satellites, but no major, right? So how many different satellites, and would you say PWA would be the major in Alberta then?
Yeah, they're...
Prairie
Wrestling Alliance, yeah. They are sort of the echelon. Like, they're the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Then there's a couple other companies that have been around for a while in their own right, like somewhere between, like, 15, 16 years. So not too far after that.
Yeah.
And that's Monster Pro Wrestling and RCW. And so I worked with RCW sort of from ring announcer to leaving them and then coming to PWA in January. So most of my time was actually with RCW.
Okay.
And then working with CWE, their promotion that Gavin actually just ring announced for them when they were in town. They're from Manitoba, very well established in Manitoba. They're sort of the big thing.
I think you told us a story about Honky Tonk Man and stuff.
Well, that was when I had done the booking for the festivals at Sonic Boom and all that. And that's when we partnered with it was MPW at the time when I was working with them. And then ended up using PWA guys in Calgary for X-Fest.
Okay.
And that was a really cool change up on the roster, too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was good times.
That's awesome. Okay, so you get your break with RCW?
Yeah.
Okay, and what does RCW stand for?
Real Canadian Wrestling.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So that's kind of like, that's down here, then you would go to Monster, and then you want to go to, like, is there a tier, or,
it's tough
like,
to say. It's, for the longest time, like, even I knew, being a performer, PWA was sort of the place to go.
Yeah.
Like, it was a place that held itself in the most professional fashion. It, you know, worked together with tons of people in the local media. It just sort of was, like, an institution. Monster was an institution in its own right. Like, they had quite a big time for a while there. Then it sort of waned. RCW sort of stepped in after they sort of had their big boom, and they were kind of like trying to be diplomatic here, but they kind of like the renegades. Like, they came in because they were working all outside, and they finally got to, like I said, there's a commission. They got a license with the commission, came in, and it's sort of like the Wild West with RCW. Just anything goes.
Yeah.
Tons of people in and out the door. They book people from sort of anyone that's sort of coming through, they'll book them. So, I'd say it's hard to place like a number two and three.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I was just wondering if there was like steps you took to
get to
there.
Yeah, no, there's no farm league.
Okay,
fair enough. There should be in some ways, I feel, but we can get
somewhere you can learn your bumps. Anyways, so you left RCW about a year and a half ago, you were saying. In what capacity did you leave them? Were you just the manager at that point for somebody?
I was.
And did you leave to become the commish, or did you have to make the transition? And was there any hard feelings? Because you spent a good chunk of change there, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's going to be like, they're losing the dynamite that is Thad Archer.
Yeah.
So of course there's going to be hard feelings, but was it a hard transition for you, or was it like, see ya suckers, I'm going to the big leagues?
So... There's a lot. That's a big bag we're going to open up right now.
Let's open it up. No one listens to this podcast. Edmonton's number one podcast.
Yeah, so somebody listens to it. But no, I was the general manager in the end there. So the commissioner title has been used a lot in wrestling. And at the
You're
time,
the Kurt Angle.
Yeah, and at the time,
Mick Foley.
Exactly. And at the time, they wanted to give me that role. I was actually asked, like, can you take this role? Because my bread and butter is managing. Like, I love managing. And it got to a point that I didn't really have anyone to manage. And I came up with the Arch Report idea.
Okay.
And so I kind of was just doing that for a bit. And then I was still there, but like they wanted to do something with me more out in the ring.
Yeah.
So I was asked, do you want to take the authority role? And I deemed it the general manager instead of commissioner. There's nothing wrong with commissioner, just so I want to try something different at the time. So I was the general manager, and then right until I orchestrated my end. Like, there was, in my mind, not many people know, there was 6 months of build up there. So one of the things I wanted to do before I left was step down from the general manager role, because the storyline was not working out.
So did you have play in the storyline then?
Yeah, to some degree.
With your bigger, like your upper end, like your WWF, your AEW at this point. They have storylines, right? So they have writers. Yeah. So are you back there with the guys? You're like, okay, let's write this. I want to do this. How does this
work? Well, there's less like writers and there's the booker. Yeah. Like in old fashioned wrestling, there's the booker. And then sometimes there's a booking committee. And then sometimes there's people that are veterans that have says and like kind of talk and work around with it. With RCW, it's kind of the Wild Wild West. Sometimes you kind of come up with your own. phone, you propose it, and then there's egos and you work things out. And so, yeah, I had some say in how things were going, and like I was trying to provide input, but you know, sometimes with people you kind of reach a brick wall.
Yeah.
And
creatively, we're not jiving.
Yeah, and what happened is they wanted me to go face, which I was never against, which I'd never done.
Yeah.
I'd never been a face, and so the way it happened,
to be a face manager I can only imagine it's not easy.
It's difficult,
right?
It's difficult because really, for the most part, a manager is always a heel and is providing that catalyst to, you know, help cheat to win. Yeah. Or like, so the baby face or the good guy doesn't look bad because you helped your guy cheat to win. Whereas if your guy loses and you caused him that, he doesn't look weak because oh, my stupid manager, blah blah blah, this and that, right? So
that could be a slippery slope.
Yeah. So, but I was, you know, like he was actually going to have me as like the face commissioner, general manager. And it was supposed to happen in a match with Kevin Sullivan.
Okay.
Kevin Sullivan, the Taskmaster, WCW wrestler. And the way it was set up was that I had brought him in as a bounty on the owner's head.
Yeah.
And tell her to give him a bounty if he beat him. And then he's there beating him up in the ring and he asked me for his bounty. And I have a tough time with this.
So it's a whole thing.
Yeah, well, just it would just made no sense. But I was supposed to, you know, like he pops me because I'm not giving him the money he wants, and I fall to the floor. I'll tell you what really happened. So I fall to the floor, and then the other guy gets up, and I'll, instead of just, you know, beating each other up, they throw boots to me.
Yeah.
So what would you expect happen if the evil commissioner got popped by the guy he hired?
Yeah.
And the guy he's been picking on, they both beat him down. What would you do in the crowd?
Oh, I'd cheer. Because you're getting yours.
They were supposed to boo
and
cheer the Kevin boo Kevin Sullivan and the other guy and cheer
the crowd
me.
Did
and
not
I
play.
Was supposed to turn. So we got through the curtain, and Kevin Sullivan, who has years of experience, goes, "Well, that didn't work." And so then I like really knew, and like I had to get out of this role. And what I want to do is there's a team, a couple guys I've worked with, Gavin's worked with them for years, called Top Talent.
Are those the guys that make the funny ass videos, like the workout videos? No.
No, that's
they're wrestlers. The I think it's a tag team I'm talking about. You've posted them on your Instagram.
Oh, Above Average Joes. Oh,
those guys.
Above Average Joes. Okay. Yeah. No, these guys, they do some funny stuff, some Memphis style stuff. They're weird. And I known them for years, and I never actually been. I've been the manager of one, but never been the manager of the tag team. So for my last couple shows, I was their manager.
And that was fun.
And that was fun. Yeah, that was back to doing this again. It was great. But I knew throughout that was bittersweet because I knew myself and no one really else knew that I was leaving.
So how do you leave? How do you say, hey, do you sit him down for coffee in a nice public place like Men in Black so they don't cause a scene, buy him a slice of pie and say, hey, I'm out?
Hey, guys, I'm
or
out.
Or what?
Sorry. Yeah. And I feel bad for that too, but they
have a sip of water, man. You've been talking.
They understood.
I respect.
They understood why I did what happened. Why I did it. So basically, as the time came, I didn't work the last RCW show that was that month. Right, I just took it off because I just wanted to take a break. I had enough stuff in the can for the Archer Report to finish for the rest of the month.
Yeah,
and I basically came up with on the last Archer Report that I had with RCW, it cut to me in front of the camera and just saying, you know, I regret, I've had a lot of things going on in my life.
Yeah.
Things are really busy. I'm just going to take some time. I am officially leaving RCW. Thank you so much for everything you've done, all the years you've done for me, because I'm still super appreciative. Or anything, that was a family, that was a home, all the people that I worked with, I appreciate everything, including my good friend Squiggy Magoo, but and that's
Squiggy
the promoter.
Magoo.
That's
okay.
The promoter, and so I did a heartfelt thank you, and I'm just like I'm leaving RCW, just so you know, and just and then it cuts, and then we had a beautifully crafted "Tell Me a Lie," Shawn Michaels. Do you know anything
about that?
I took all clips of me in the past and did a "Tell Me a Lie" video with me,
because
that's
amazing.
Was my biggest thing in my head. It's like, that's my goodbye.
That's how I'm gonna do it.
I got goosebumps thinking of it right now. So I was done with RCW, and everybody just thought, hey, he's taking some time off.
Yeah,
you know. And this was Archer Reports comes out every Thursday, so this was on the Thursday. So I hadn't worked the last show. I hadn't told the promoter I was leaving. I announced I was leaving publicly online to everyone. Didn't bury the company or anything. Just talk nicely about it. And 2 days later, I walk out as a surprise for PWA.
Okay, before we get into PWA, you've now mentioned Archer Report a bunch.
Yep.
You're not just this Dynamite manager, this voice. You also host three other shows.
Yeah.
Right? So you're also spinning other plates, but you've mentioned now the Archer Report a lot. Let our listeners know what the Archer Report is.
So the Archer Report is basically the closest thing that indie wrestling, or at least where I'm working, has to like a Raw.
Yeah.
We don't have TV here.
No.
But you want to keep people's interest, but people's interests aren't so big. Actually, best thing you can compare it to is being the Elite. In a way.
Fair enough. So it's your webisodes that explain your plot to the events.
Yeah, so if you miss a show, you can kind of go through 4 weeks of webisodes and see, okay, this is what happened. He lost this, that, this changed, that sort
was
of thing.
Was this your brainchild, or was this somebody approached you? Are you in character for these?
Oh, absolutely.
Reports?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely. So how it started, going back to, like I said, I didn't have anyone to manage at the time. And as a manager, I want someone who wants to work with me. I've been placed with just a lot of people and, randomly for a show and stuff. And I was at the point where I wanted to work with someone long form again and have like a relationship, and not even a stable, just a single guy or a tag team or something, right? And there wasn't anything for that at the time. And in the company, they were doing a war for the company. So those gentlemen I mentioned before, Top Talent, they came back, and they had left in a very controversial fashion, like buried the company years prior. High metal.
What up?
He's going to give me hell for that because he never said anything wrong, yet he always gets placed as a person that buried the company. And I love you too, Jess. But So
the name of the episode, 187, Metal Buried the Company.
Okay. No.
Okay.
We'll find something else. Trust me, another tidbit. So they were taking over the company, and I spoke with Heavy Metal, and I said to him, what am I going to do? I feel like I took the summer off at the time, and I just said, I don't feel like there's anything for me. And I contemplated just leaving wrestling because taking a break, I was downtrodden by the whole thing. And he goes, right now we're doing this war for the company, and we have no one doing backstage interviews or anything like that, or even just there for a promo. And he's like, what? We're having a war for the company. What if you're a war correspondent? You're someone commenting on all these ins and outs that's happening with the company.
You're that gray-haired dude from CNN. What the fuck's his name? He's handsome as
Wolf
balls.
Wolf Blitzer? No.
No, the handsome one. He's new.
Don't watch CNN.
Sterling Silver. I have no idea. I don't watch CNN either, but we'll figure it out. I'm going to look it up.
He's going to look it up. Cooper.
Thank you. You knew who I was talking about all along. I was going to let him say some weird shit.
I kept thinking Wolf Blitzer too as soon as you said it, though.
What is his mom? His mom, the heir to Blitzer, the Kraft fortune or some sort of fortune?
Yeah, mommy's got some money.
Big money. I can't remember what it is. But
anyway,
I digress. So I started. He just gave me an idea to just do that. Nothing else. And I thought, okay, I'll try it. So I had my phone, and I'd literally walk up to the guy and selfie style shoot, hey, what are you doing? Out of nowhere, just surprise a guy, do this quick interview with him. And then it got to the point people were enjoying that. At the time, it was just sort of Facebook videos. I put them out one in here and there, all over the place. And then we started it just kept ballooning where all the guys seemed interested in it. And this is
fun.
Promo practice.
Totally.
Because we're not getting promo practice. We're in the ring, but we're not getting practice on promos. You go do a WWE tryout, they're going to tell you right there on the spot, cut a promo on Tim Horton's coffee. You got to do that and impress
them. I've
watched
Fighting With My Family. I think I know the inner workings of the wrestling industry, Thad. But thank you for mansplaining.
Yes. And then it just kept, we got a cameraman. And then, I was I'm sitting there, well, maybe we can make this a YouTube thing.
How do you bring Gavin into this then?
Well, this is where the whole end of RCW happened. I had my partner in Paragons of Style Productions, Dave, amazing guy. He was doing all my editing. His 16-year-old son was being my camera guy. And he actually could get camera equipment and audio equipment from his work.
That's amazing.
And take it for free. Yeah. So in return it. But so we were doing that. We were going. And when I left RCW, I was like, he had to stay in that company, and they weren't bringing him over, and he was a performer there and was doing a lot of their stuff, so I couldn't have him come to the shows. And I've had his son actually helped us with the big PWA anniversary or Night of Champions show.
Yeah, Hot Seat, he's always down.
They help us with the non-wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
But I needed someone, and lo and behold, Gavin and I just started talking out of the blue. I think a mutual friend of ours that was a wrestler was passing, and he kind of gave me the Iggy on it and said, like, so he's in hospice right now. You want to go see him? And went down, and we got to talking. And
kind of hit it off.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, I want to work on my camera stuff more. I got this camera, and, like, I want to do photography and videography, and I have, like, this mind for it, and I wanted to do it.
How do you feel about Mark Twitchell? You know, shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, do you want to do this with me? He's like, I do. I'm like, did we just become best friends? He's like, yep.
We did.
So he started doing all the PWA stuff for me. And credit to Gavin, like, his camera technique is great. Like, I love the shots and everything. We have a very, like, copacetic mind when it comes to how we visualize things.
It flows well. You work well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Peanut butter and jelly. Yeah. Mayonnaise and Skippy peanut butter. Look it up. It was a thing. Ugh. Anyways, so the Archer Report. That's awesome. That's telling that story. That's one facet of the three. But now we're going to get back into PWA. Okay. So you make your appearance.
Yep.
How does that break? They know you're coming, obviously. So what's the storyline there, and how do you catapult to where you are today?
Well, nobody, like, I mean, a handful of people in PWA knew I was coming. Not everybody in the roster.
It was a surprise.
Not everybody, not any of the fans. It was a surprise. And that's what we wanted it to be.
Fan-wise, because there are different outfits, are there loyal fans to just RCW? Yep. Is there loyal fans to PWA? Mm-hmm. Or do the just wrestling fans?
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything.
There's some guys that go to one or two shows, different companies a month. Some go to all the shows.
Yep.
Some, like, will pick and choose whatever they feel. And then there's some guys that are, I'm only MPW. I'm only RCW. And people that say, I'm only PWA.
That's crazy. That's cool. Yeah, because I never enjoy, like, I can't say I didn't enjoy, but I was never, I never went to any of the indie stuff. I was spoon-fed WWE, WF at the time. I'm wearing my Heart Attack Tour for Clout tonight. That's so that awesome. You'll respect me. First show I went to.
Paragona Style, love me that shirt.
Dude, right? Yeah. Anyways, so I'm very mainstream wrestling. So the indie wrestling is new to me, and it's exciting, and it's awesome. So getting to talk to you is super fun. So thank you. So you make your appearance. It's only known to a handful of people. Mm-hmm. Do you pop? What happens?
So, well, the biggest thing is... he had said to me, I want you to be my face commissioner. And like I said, I had that little hiccup, whatever there, but I'd never actually done that.
Yeah.
And so I'm coming out to essentially a new audience. There were familiars there that had been to other shows. They knew me and they'd seen me at all over, you know, here.
But
there.
You hadn't telegraphed it either on your Instagram or your personal life or anything like
that. Yeah. So it basically told me I had to be a good guy. So I was like, here I'm sitting. I'm actually kind of nervous. And I'm
waiting. Do you order a new suit for opening night?
Of course I do.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
I have to have a new suit. That's a Galaxy suit, the one I wore this weekend, because full circle with, you know, everything that happened.
Oh, we're going to talk. I got a breakdown. I want to know how you helped the referee end the match.
So,
stuff like that.
Yeah, I come out and I'm thinking, okay, how's this going to go? Are people going to boo me? Because they're used to booing me.
Yeah.
And I had actually a t-shirt in my back pocket, one of my last t-shirts of my last run. And I was going to hand it off to a kid just as, like, that cheap, like, see, I'm a good guy. I'm giving a kid a shirt, because it was a small shirt, and wrestling fans, why
are
get
not
small
people.
Shirt?
Yeah,
no. So, but I came out, and as soon as everybody realized it was me,
they
lost
went off.
It. The
That's
people
awesome.
That knew who I was and saw that I'd made
How
it there.
How does that feel? A small town boy wasn't allowed to watch wrestling. Now he's the cream of the fucking crop. Oh, how does that feel?
He was getting, like, the Daniel Bryan, like, yes chance.
Did you have to tape your penis up because you had an excitement boner?
Just tuck it behind the waistband.
100%.
You know? Yeah.
That's amazing.
No,
dude.
It was one of, like, my career highlights. Like, that's how I knew. I'm like, this, you know, kind of made it, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, went up in the ring and cut a little promo short and introduced me. And at the time, like, Kurt would kind of split things off. He had a wrestler that retired that worked for Stampede Wrestling, and him, and he was on, and he lives in Calgary, so he was going to be the Calgary commissioner, and he needed an Edmonton commissioner.
Love it.
And that's why he approached me and said, you want to come in? I got the perfect thing for you. So I started. I was the good guy commissioner,
awesome.
And now I'm doing, you know, and then I'm doing the Arch Report with a whole new set of people, and I'm training a whole new set of wrestlers that I need two promos out of you, and I'm in your face, and you have to cut a promo right now. Well, what are we doing? Go.
Yeah.
And, like, that's my biggest thing is it has to be...
You want the
very
raw.
Improvise. Yeah. I want raw. Like, I don't want your scripted lay things out. Sometimes we'll go over bullet points, but I really think, especially for the younger wrestlers, to get in their face and say, this is what we're doing, and get comfortable. And we can take a couple takes, but you need to just know that
You need to sell it.
You need no. You just drop of a hat, cut a promo. Yeah. Now go.
I love promos. Wrestling promos are my favorite. Did you get a chance? I'm a huge Dean Ambrose, John Moxley fan. Did you get a chance to listen to his Jericho interview?
Of course.
Oh, dude, yeah. It was great, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what they're doing over at AEW. I'll ask you all that after. And how he's got an inflamed elbow and he's not fighting Kenny Omega. Did you watch the Kenny Omega AEW Road to Whatever right now?
No, I'm so behind on that stuff.
Oh, dude, it's amazing because Kenny is cutting a promo and then he gets the word that John's not fighting.
I heard that. I started watching it and then one of the kids Goosebumps said something. I had to go and I'm like
throwing pens. I'm that excited, Thad.
No, I want to get back to it because I love the production that they're doing and the way they're going about things with
very
AEW.
Cool.
Yeah, all those guys. Yeah.
TNT's coming up in the fall. Oh my gosh, we're going to get nights. Anyways.
And all the people AEW's bringing out too that like aren't working with WWE.
You
know, like they got Jake the Snake doing the new promo for the women's
Bret Hart
Battle
showed
Royal.
Up and had the belt at All Out. And
it's all like respect.
It is.
Like the big thing is people, you know, all of these guys and the wrestling fans on Twitter. Nobody hates wrestling more than wrestling fans on Twitter.
100%.
But you know, talking those trash, and it's like he's Dusty's son, and he knows it's just a matter of respect and giving the fans and the wrestlers another opportunity to work.
His fight with his older brother was amazing. Mm. It was a thing of beauty. Yeah. It was wrestling.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And when he took the hammer to the throne too, as the little like, it was cheeseball.
It was cheeseball, but hey.
You loved it. Yeah. And you know Triple H laughed.
Oh,
he's like, I'm for it. Now a shirt is the throne. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, so you're in PWA. Your face. You were out this weekend doing some things, managing some wrestlers at a show.
Not managing.
No, you weren't managing. You were commissioning, sorry.
Wink.
You were commissioning. So it was PWA Retribution.
Yep.
So it was a pretty big show, correct?
Yeah, it was. We have a summer break. We always take August off.
Okay.
We're in August.
July
off.
Yeah.
So it was a return after the sort of the summer.
Yeah.
And so it was a big show in a way that now we're leading up to, we have Sean Spears from AEW next month. And Fright Night, our Halloween show, is always Halloween themed and big.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of building off that like steam at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So in a sense, it was a big show.
So
it
you
ended
were,
up being a big show.
It was, you made a child cry, sir. Like, that should be a career highlight from what
list.
I understand. So anyways, last night, PWA happens, the heavyweight match. Okay, so I have this written down because I wasn't there.
Yeah.
But I read the weekly report on it. So Michael Richard Blais,
Blaze. Yep.
He was the heavyweight champion at the time.
Nope.
Wasn't he beat Kenneth Anthony.
Yeah,
he beat him to get the title.
Yes,
he had the title what, an hour?
No. Let me run you through it real
run
quick.
Me through the events that happened.
So Kenneth Anthony won a title. He had been Michael Richard Blaze. He's been
184 days, I think it was.
No, he wasn't champion at all.
Okay, Kenneth.
No, he had only been a champion for
I'm
a little bit.
Ruining
just
him. Let him
just let me go at it. No, so basically, Kenneth Anthony got in recently.
Okay.
And he had something going with Michael Richard Blaze. This is like a mentor. Basically, Michael Richard Blaze mentored Kenneth Anthony into wrestling. It taught him everything he knew. And this is, you know, he called him, Michael Richard Blaze is the Western Lions, him and BVD. And he started calling himself Kenneth Anthony the Lion Killer because he wanted, he is this, you know, snotty upstart that wanted to be the new generation, right?
Gotcha. So
he's going after Michael Richard Blaze, and Michael Richard Blaze has been lately like on NXT, and did a tour in UK, and he's getting his name out there. He got booked on Joey Janela's Spring Break.
He's gone viral.
Yeah, he's gone viral with a few big clips of things that he's done. So he's this big name, and everyone's loving him, and he's this local, you know, gem that everybody loves, and this little snot-haired kid cut off his hair.
Yeah.
They cut his long hair that he had for years. And so they had this sort of thing going, and Kenneth Anthony just happened to get the title, and so Michael Richard Blaze was facing off with him because he's still trying to deal with this little young punk, and they had this big 30-minute match that was just nuts because there's, you know, there's some real emotion between these two guys legitimately knowing each other and throughout everything.
It was a sharpshooter that ended the match, correct?
Yeah, I believe so. The sharpshooter was in there at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think it was the sharpshooter.
MRB got him to tap with the sharpshooter.
Yeah. And so so it all ends, and it's just, you know, like storybook ending. Everybody's like so happy, clapping. And I walk
show's
out to the
over.
Show's over, and people are walking out the door, and I need to get out there. And I walk, like I run almost right out there and grab the mic and just start saying, you know, like, I'm so happy for you, all your accomplishments you've had lately, you know, NXT and UK and traveling.
Playing
to UK,
the perfect face.
All this stuff. I'm like, you know, you are, I tell him, you are the face of PWA in another era. not my era.
Oh, shit.
And burn. To watch, people were walking out the door. Burn. And when I say,
like, did you get one of these memes?
Record when scratch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody
turn
around.
Yeah. And just people turn around, like, all of a sudden, like, hunker down or sit back down. And I hear, like, this, like, wait, what? Huh? What's going on? What's that?
Now you're getting goosebumps because know what's coming.
And so, and like, I turned on, not my era. You know, you're not my PWA champion. Let me introduce you to my PWA champion. And Michael Allen Richard Clark comes out.
Who also fought in a tag team match earlier in the night, too, correct?
Four-way.
Four-way
yeah,
match.
Yeah, four-way match. Yeah, he had fought at the beginning, literally the first match.
Okay.
Michael Richard Blaze had just been through a 30-minute match.
Yeah.
And I tell the ring announcer and the referee are confused, and I tell them, okay, call the match right now and get everything. So the ring announcer, I guess we're having another match for the title, and I get down and ring the bell myself. And
classic manager move.
Yeah, and they have their match, and Michael Richard Blaze, it kind of boiled down to he had Mark in a good spot and did a wicked 450 splash on him.
Yeah.
I grabbed the ref's foot and pulled him out of the ring.
You helped him out.
Yeah, just helped him out. Yeah, he was going to fall out of the ring, and exactly. I just wanted to make sure I caught him and cradled him. And
because
while I was cradling him, the title just happened to fall in Michael Owen Richard Clark's hands, and then Michael Richard Blaze just comes running at him and hits him in the head. It
totally accidental.
Collided, right? Yeah.
No, it happens.
And then 1, 2, 3, and your new PWA champion.
You helped the ref get back in,
though. Oh, yes,
that's a very valid
when
point.
When I saw that, you know, the coast was clear, I got him back in, and he counted the 1, 2, 3.
Because
and
you're a good guy,
I'm
Thad.
A good guy. Yeah, yeah. So Michael Owen Richard Clark is my PWA champion, so... And now
amazing.
It is the era of Archer.
How and, amazing is that? The era of Archer. Like, that is... Was that something you had thought of, or did it just come to you, the era of Archer?
I thought of it. I like Dude, my brain never stops working. There's one reason why I love Michael Richard Blaze. We talk a bit. Sorry, I heard took away your title, buddy. But he's like, it's always going. Not just wrestling. Like, Gavin and I will talk to shooting messages back and forth to 3 a.m. coming up with different things we can do. And so it's like, I'm always
you
thinking
say goodnight. No, you say goodnight.
I love you.
You
no,
hang
but,
up.
even this last week, we were just like, well, what can we do for just something fun? Like, oh yeah, we got the green screen. Let's do something with the green screen. So we did the Wayne's World chroma key spoof.
That's amazing.
Yes, that'll be on an upcoming Archer report.
Yeah, cool. So awesome. We had fun with that. You know, it's always something, you know, what can we play off of on this? Oh shit, so-and-so is not going to be at the show now. Oh well, that scraps this whole idea.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
But it's always fun going through these ideas, because it's like all the stuff that you wish that you could see WWE doing sometimes.
Yeah,
it's like, well, we can do it now.
Yeah,
try
we can,
it.
Yeah.
Not everything sticks, but I'm a big throw it against the wall and see if it sticks guy.
Totally.
Like, I've done some horrible stuff on the Arch Report over the 75 episodes it's been in.
You
some
gotta
stuff,
figure it out.
I shake my head, and then some stuff's it actually kind of gains a bit of a cult. I did one that was a Weekend at Bernie's episode.
That's
nice.
Amazing.
Or, well, I called it the Weekend at Bernie. It was
did someone get knocked out and you just
Well, because at the time I was a general manager of the company. I had this the ring announcer was kind of my little bumbling assistant.
Yeah.
And I got hit in the ring or something happened, so I'm sitting there, you know, my head's hurting, and he goes, well, I'll go get something for you, and he got medication from one of the wrestlers, but it was something that's too strong. So basically I'm out on my feet, and then I'm sitting at the table with people coming into my office.
Yeah.
And I'm out, and you know, so he puts the glasses over my eyes and he's trying to talk for me and nod and bang my head for him.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. The funny thing about that is the fastest episode I basically was the end of the night and they were shutting down the venue.
Yeah.
And I the cameraman and everyone included, and I'm like, go now over here, go now over here. And I could there was two more scenes we wanted to put into it, I think would have made it really something I would have enjoyed.
Yeah,
but we got it done in 20 minutes. I couldn't believe how fast
that's amazing.
That. So yeah, but there's stuff like that. Just
before I get into more of your YouTube stuff, and I got two quick questions, but what I want to do first and foremost is I want to pay the bills, keep the lights on. conceptbeardco.com. You go to conceptbeard.com, you put in awesome at checkout to save how much, Gavin?
10%.
Holy fucking shit. He's been here twice and he knows, ladies and gentlemen. Why aren't you going to conceptbeard.com and saving yourself 10% by using awesome at checkout? Go buy some beard balm, some oils. Mike's doing it all over there at conceptbeard.com. Concept Beard Co., put it in your beard.
I just want to say congratulations on your first read-through without fucking it up.
It's not my first, but it's definitely one of them. That's for damn sure. Put it down, Mike. I get a bonus. I don't, because you're just amazing. But anyways, so back to you, Thad. Yep. Back to you, Gavin. Now that the bills have been paid, question. So you get touring X superstars coming through. Farouk, Hacksaw, Jim Duggan,
who you
took a bump from what I understand.
Yep,
amazing. So how do they fall into the companies in Alberta? Does a certain outfit have rights to them, or do they? It's whoever they approach first, or is the booker reaching out to them? Hey, I see you're in Saskatoon. Do you want to come to Edmonton? How does that work? Can you explain that to me?
Any of the companies, they essentially just reach out to the people and say, do you want to come work here? And it's not... Sometimes there is someone... With the big names, it's you just are bringing them in. They're not they're not working a tour, and you say, okay, I want to be the Edmonton date.
Yeah.
You essentially just fly them in, bring them in for your show, or if you have a handful of shows. So, yeah, it's just the companies I've worked for, with exception to Danny and CWE, he actually tours across Canada.
Okay.
So that's why I'm talking, he's like from Winnipeg, but he's doing shows here. Is what they do is they go from, now it's like Ontario to Vancouver.
Yeah, they'll go.
That's BC. Canada, basically.
Yeah, no, they pretty much do everything except the Maritimes.
Really? Yeah, so and like the Maritimes got their own thing. We're like, ah, we don't need you.
Well, they do.
He's just building up.
Yeah, and he's building up to it. Eventually.
What is Maritime wrestling like? Yeah. I bet that's a thing.
That's smelly.
That's a thing. No,
it there's is. A lot of cod slapping.
Yeah, there's like a whole like heart feel from the Maritimes. What's it? Rene Dupree's dad ran Grand Prix. I can't remember his name.
Moondog.
Yeah, and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, so
the Shawns were out there too, like back in the days too, like from Quebec, and they'd move over from there from the Quebec circuit as well. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's sort of its own little world. And then Western Canada is its own little world. Yeah. Like,
oh, when you say we Western Canada, do you mean Vancouver or BC to Winnipeg?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or Manitoba.
Because you see a lot of wrestlers, especially with the Prairie provinces, like Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba. A lot of guys kind of go back and forth, so like they can almost work, you know, like every weekend a month working for different companies, right?
Okay.
And so they can get a lot more matches in.
100%.
A lot of driving, but they can get a lot more matches in.
Road dogs, baby. Road dogs. Mm-hmm. That brings me to my next question. Now that you're the Edmonton commish of PWA, and PWA isn't just Edmonton, it's also Red Deer and Calgary.
Not Red
correct?
Deer. Not Red Deer? Not Red Deer, just Calgary. Calgary and Edmonton. They have done Red Deer before. They've done a few other shows here and there.
Yeah. And are they usually monthly shows?
Yeah.
So like Edmonton. 1 month Edmonton, 1 month Calgary?
Sort of like the first weekend, first weekend Calgary.
They're both and then 2 weeks apart.
Yeah, two weeks apart. Then 2 weeks later, Edmonton.
Will storylines carry over from Edmonton to Calgary?
Two degree. Yeah, like the main stuff all sort of carries over, but like you don't get into details too much. That's one big thing when you work other places. Calgary guys, you know, people follow things on social media to a degree, but Calgary guys aren't going to know the nuances of things.
Do you find with social media, the guys don't have to tour as hard? They still have to show up, but they can sell themselves a little bit better to other provinces and stuff? Or if you like a certain wrestler, it's easier to follow them?
Yeah, yeah.
Type
like,
thing?
There's
like,
a lot
has
of guys...
social media opened the door, as in, like, the Archer Report and stuff?
Well, the big thing is, like, these guys can get, shown to other places. Like, I've seen a lot of guys booked through fans saying, like, hey, my local place, this guy I saw when I was in Alberta on vacation, and he's great, and he wrestles in Saskatchewan, and I want him to come wrestle in Okanagan. And so guys kind of gauge and see. And it's instead of, like, you sending in a tape now to someone or writing a letter, you got to actually, like, go and follow this guy and get to see his work. And so as a booker, you can be like, do I want to pay to bring, you know, this guy in from Saskatchewan or Manitoba?
Is it worth it?
Is it worth
you're
it?
Not
because,
getting skateboard
because
sponsor
you pay
meetings.
You pay trans, you pay for the gas, and then you know you pay for their PO at the show. So
fair enough. Cool. No, that was a cool. That was
hot dog and a handshake.
Hot dog and a handshake. Hey, do you have local guys that get pissed off when they have to work with the superstars? Like they're kind of throwing them a bone, or is it an honor?
Oh, it's an honor.
It's always an honor. Hey, there's never the resentful snot nosed punk that's like, fuck that guy.
No.
He's a has been. No, nothing like that.
It depends on how
you gotta.
Well, it depends on the attitude of like that star going into the match, and it's like, you know, we had I had Brutus going up against Kyle Sebastian.
That's what you're saying.
Kyle Sebastian, great wrestler here in the independent scene in Western Canada,
but Brutus was
and
a douchebag.
Brutus was like, no, fuck this. Like, I'm
so,
not doing anything. Like,
so
I want to go over. Like, and we're trying to have it like, no, you're passing the torch kind of thing. And he's like, well, no. I'm the legend. And
so is it more common then for the legend then to want to bury local? Or is there that
and
respect
we had the
there?
Whole, and like we had the whole gimmick there where like he was going to get in on the manager and like give the crowd what they wanted.
Yeah.
Right? So that was how we had it because Kyle couldn't cut his hair.
Gotcha.
And but yeah, no, it's tough because some of these guys are totally for like, I want to put over the local guy.
That's
like,
awesome.
And then, you know, it's like, no, I've had my career.
Yeah.
I've done everything I need to do. Sure, we'll give the fans a pop.
Yeah.
But if it's like a one-on-one singles match, it's usually always them.
So there is that respect there.
There is a respect thing, too. Yep. And it's always, they usually can gauge if they're going to put the guy over when they're running through the match.
Oh, yeah, talking to the guy. Yeah. I've seen a couple times things change where it just makes sense.
Yeah. Are those prescription glasses or are those fake?
These are fake. Fair enough. My first pair of Thaddeus Archer III glasses were tortoiseshell Ray-Bans, and they were real, and they got squished real quick, and so I switched to contacts and the old disposables.
Nice.
And yeah, it's just, I've actually been looking towards getting another pair for filming Thad About Town and things that don't require like wrestling stuff, because these glare way more than actual frames.
Oh, I'm just looking at you. I'm like, those don't look legit.
No, they're not legit. But I just, after having that break, and I've had so many of these broken. Like, I've literally been rolled out of the ring and had a pair break on me. So I have a big box of them. And they're literally, like, in the breast pocket of all my suits.
Yeah.
And then I have, like, three in the car. And then
they're just ready to go.
A couple in the briefcase.
Yeah, briefcase.
The production case.
Yep.
So you've been the blunt end of punishment, but you also like self-inflicted punishment. I watched an Instagram story last night of you eating a hot pepper. You like hot food, and that's amazing. So that brings us to one of your shows, The Hot Seat. I'm a huge Hot Ones fan. Yep. You can tell by when I turn my interview voice on instead of my shit on me voice.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you. I watch a lot of Sean Evans. I like Evan's what he charm. Does. Yep. I love what he does and what he brings out. And you like hot food.
Yep.
So you do a show called The Hot Seat. You're about 7 episodes filmed, 1 or 2 released.
Only one released.
One released. We have 3 in the can.
Three in the can ready to go. Or no, 2 ready to go.
2 are ready to go. The last one is going to be coming out as soon as we can get that one out.
But how does... How does Hot Seat happen? As someone who loves Northern Chicken as well, where you just like, fuck, I want to eat some free Northern Chicken, but I also want to sit down with some cool motherfuckers. So how does that happen? How do you two brainstorm that to be like, we can get some free chicken and have some fun and content?
Well, it kind of came out when we were doing the promo for the YEG Pro Wrestling.
Yeah. And that YEG Pro Wrestling happens once or twice a year, correct?
It's only happened once. Hopefully it's going to happen one more time, and it's purely charitable.
Purely charitable. Yeah. That's
100% of everything went to the Kids with Cancer Society.
Beautiful.
So everything. Like
big,
the
strong
gate,
men giving back.
The 50-50, the silent auction, every penny went to them. A lot of the wrestlers donated their time, but they still got a payout from the organizer. He still paid out of his pocket.
That's amazing.
And they turned around and just gave it back to him.
Yeah. And they just...
Perfect.
Yeah.
Guys were just like, no, go away, shut up. Yeah. Like, this is,
I'm That's not awesome. Taking your envelope. Like, you know, it was pretty cool, like, seeing how
it was
really
emotional.
Cool.
Like, there was something was, special. Yeah. Like, $35,000 raising from a wrestling show. And, like, we all know indie wrestling, and we have a tough time getting, like, 100 people in the door. Yeah. Not PWA, mind you, but, like, just for that to happen, it was a labor of love, especially by the promoter, Mike Cook Media.
Shout out to Mike Cook.
And that was the thing, is we wanted to promote Mike and give him like a little bit of oomph. And so...
And let people know who he was, because he's doing like this great community work with this whole event. And, you know, it was like, well, what can we do to really like put it out there? And like, we kind of were throwing around this idea. It's like, well, let's do Northern Chicken, because he had done the hot sandwich challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you watch that one?
And he almost died from that. Yep. So then it was like, let's see what they can do.
Ever.
And
That's so great. So you
shout out to Matt and Andrew for being the sadists that they are for making the hottest.
Do not go
sauce.
In there and challenge them.
Nope.
Because you will regret it, and they will love it.
Well, you must have earned a little bit of respect, because you had a signature hot sauce, the humanoid hot sauce that came out. That's amazing. So how does that happen? How you come to them and they're like, "We like what you're doing. Let's do this. We're gonna come up with some fucking hot sauces that are gonna grill them." And it's been just a blast from there. Or what?
Well. You know, we knew it was kind of like a take on Hot Ones.
Yeah.
But at the same time,
we made it our own. Yeah.
Yeah, we made it our own. And the thing was, it's promoting local, which is a big thing between both of us. We're Edmonton boys. Even though I didn't grow up in Edmonton, I was born in Edmonton, lived for a period of time, went to a small town, immediately came back to Edmonton.
What small town, if you don't mind me asking?
Vagreville. Oh, Vulgarville, as I used to call it in my punk days.
I like it.
We won't
like
go
it.
There.
No, we
but,
won't. Unless you're going to see a giant Easter egg, fuck off.
Yeah. So we talked with Matt and Andrew, and they're so accommodating. And when I did the spicy sandwich challenge with them, someone caught wind of it. The CBC caught wind of it. Andrea, I can't remember the name.
Is that where you, when you, I saw the picture that you're a sexual predator that you were talking to?
Yes. Yes.
So I did the deep dive on your Instagram, yes. And there's a photo of you in front of the CBC yep. radio headquarters, yep. and one of the tickers.
Yep.
Thank you, Gavin. Titter. Said sexual predator wanted, and you're just like, hey, what's up? I'm like, did you mean to fucking take that
no,
photo?
No, no, I took it.
As a father of two, you're like,
no,
hopefully
no.
not.
No, I took it, and then, like, I don't remember who it was. I think it was Dave. Like, literally, like, 5 minutes later, messaged me, and he's like, dude, and just losing his mind. He's like, sexual predator. I'm like, oh, that's got to stay. You know,
that's amazing.
Good little Easter egg. Not many people caught that.
Oh, so. I don't want to waste your time here on the Awesome Hour. Yes. So, you know, I do my homework. So you're doing Hot Seat. You yep. said you love Edmonton Local. Yep, that yep. brings me to your next show, Thad About Town. Yep. How does that happen? You're just like, fuck it. We got free food from Northern Chicken. Let's go get some free Venezuelan food, which I had this weekend at the Fringe.
Nice.
Holy fucking shit, is that so amazing. Good. The name starts with an A. Maybe you can help
Avila,
me fill
Avila Arepa.
Avila Arepa, yeah.
And they're Arepa, located yeah. next or right next or near Milo's on
82nd Ave.
Yes.
Rolando.
Yeah, Rolando.
Amazing. Rolando, El Jefe.
El Jefe. As someone that has a gluten allergy, because I'm a nerd that also has an inhaler, when I saw that it was gluten-free and looked that delicious, oh my gosh, I don't know what the fuck yeah. it was. It looked like mashed potatoes that they put on a grill and then they stuffed it full of meat and it was like a little Sammy with garlic sauce. Oh my gosh, I tell
it's
you what.
Yeah. It's like a cornbread, basically, is what they did.
It's a little slice yeah. of heaven, I tell you what. So Hot Ones happens. Now you're doing, what comes first? Hot Ones or hot seat?
Yeah.
Sorry,
yeah.
I'm a son of a gun.
I've done it myself.
And the, or Thad About Town, or about the same time.
Hot Seat.
Hot Seat happens. Yeah. Then you're yeah. like, let's take this local.
Yeah,
let's go. Let's
it,
go
it was,
more.
It was pretty much close the same time too, because we were amping up later. For hot seats.
Yeah, you almost did Hot Ones.
Yeah, I almost did too.
We'll have to have and, a little bottle of hot sauce when you fuck up. You take a swig. Yeah. Oh.
As long as it's not WNFA or Shitty Wednesday.
Oh, that's what, the final sauce.
5.0 is going to be bad.
Ooh. Yeah.
And, yeah, no, it's funny because then we were like, well, we should do these local businesses because my friend Anthony LaRose films E-Town Eats.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, like, he's got the restaurant one. And then, like, we can do more than restaurants because there's so much out there, the local
businesses.
Oh,
especially Edmonton
like,
food right
so
now
many.
Is blowing up.
So our first episode, we did Clever Rabbit.
Yeah.
And
across the street from Local
Sly
124.
Fox. Yeah,
make sure
so,
you go check out Local 124.
So we did that one for our first one, and then we just kind of moved down 124th Street, went to a couple other businesses, and pretty much whoever was letting us come in.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it was funny, like, because when we go to businesses to pitch,
yeah.
like, some people were so apprehensive about it. It's like...
Because image,
like,
I guess.
We're going to do it free. It's yeah. like free. We'll show as little or as much as you want.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
we can make this like.
When a guy in a suit that looks like yeah. this walks in and says, I want to film a thing on you, I can maybe understand.
Do you know how to drop in on a skateboard?
No.
We're going to talk after the show about maybe another episode.
Yes. I all my friends skateboarded growing up.
Yeah.
I tried. I have horrible balance. So, yeah.
We'll
yeah.
talk after. Yeah. I might have an opportunity for you, if you're interested. So Thad About Town happens, Archer Report, and the Hot Seat. So you don't have enough going on in your life from being the Dynamite manager, the amazing dad, and now this content creator aficionado.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you do with your free time?
That's about it.
That's about it?
That's about it. Well, be a good dad. And like I always say with wrestling, it's like my hobby that pays.
Yeah.
And it doesn't pay much, mind you.
So
and
have,
going
you,
the suits,
have you transitioned from 9 to 5 to full-time commission now?
No. And like the biggest thing is I have a normal job.
Yeah.
And what sort of prompted all this stuff happening, you know, this Thad About Town going crazy. So I got laid off
yeah.
of a job I'd been at for like almost 10 years. And so I had
thanks,
like,
Notley. Am yeah. I right? No, I'm just kidding. Nah, the views expressed here on the Awesome Hour did not
it's actually funny because it all there was a big curb in layoffs after Notley curbed oil production.
Oh, fuck. I'm not, I don't
year.
Want to get political.
No, I'm not
political
getting political, but it's just funny because like that was the excuse.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I lost my job. I'm trying to find work, but at the same time, I have all this time on my hands. I cannot sit still. Even when I broke my back years ago, and that's a whole other story. I would be up in the middle of the night cleaning stuff with my walker because I need to be doing or thinking stuff all the time.
Yeah.
And so Gavin, you know, like was mostly working evenings and we had this time during the day. So that's why we put out a lot. Now I ended up getting a job. Gavin's been busy with a lot of stuff over like
yeah,
Chaos,
he doesn't
Alberta,
stop either.
He's been busy with a lot of Live Nation stuff and everything. So
Grand Theft Auto. That's not his car he was driving. That's bullshit. Where did he get that? I don't know. He was driving too fast.
He's
I don't
got
even
lots
know.
Of connections. That's why I work with him. Everybody's just like, how does Gavin know this guy? How does Gavin have that? And how does Gavin get in here? And I'm like, just that's Gavin, man. That's how things work.
That's
just,
Gavin.
Just live with it. But yeah, so we had a chance to do a lot of it. We took kind of the summer off, but I want to get back into doing more. And yeah, I mean, as a dad and having a family and mortgage and everything, I have to have a 9-to-5 job. Ideally, like, and we've had this conversation, God, if someone could pay me to do Thad About Town or to just be Thaddeus Archer III, I would be on that like a fat kid on a Smarty, man. Like,
hey, man. From not being allowed to watching wrestling to being the commissioner of a wrestling organization, I see your star only rising, sir.
Yeah.
Only rising. It's been great. I want to talk to Gavin for a second before we wrap the show up. Gavin, you were here 2 weeks ago, but you've always got stuff going on. You're wearing a new Danger Cat hat.
Oh, yeah.
What have you been up to?
Well, geez. Well, we got Canuck Box getting ready to roll out here.
And what the fuck is a Canuck Box besides, like,
Canuck
a
box?
Canadian vagina?
Oh, I just got what? Sick.
Thank you for going
to be honest, I got sick and fucking tired of sending care packages to my friends in the States.
Just, you're tired of buying ketchup Doritos and sending them south of the border.
So I was like, if these assholes who keep making me send these $40, $50 boxes to them like twice a year
fucking
want
sign
them this
up.
Bad, there's going to be other people that want them to sign up, right?
So you just said, fuck it, and you made your own loot box.
Fuck it. I went and made my own crate company now and got the website getting developed and everything. And
that's amazing. Like, when I talked to you 2 weeks ago, I didn't realize what Canuck Box was. I thought Canuck Box was just, like, where you dump your social medias and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it was going to be a hub. And then you sent me the photos of the box. I was like, oh, fuck, it's like a loot box, but Canada.
It's going to be a thing.
That's
amazing.
It's pretty
much a thing now,
yeah.
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty wicked. Can't like let out too much of the bag right now, but yeah,
we'll have you back.
I got a few things rolling that are gonna make it really unique and really cool for Canada. So
also on your social media, you've been promoting a little web series called
Day One
Original Series.
Yes. Yeah,
Day One, the original series.
What's the story about that?
So Day One is a Canadian crime drama series that was shot exclusively here in Edmonton.
That's amazing.
And pretty much a lot of the people that are cast members lived that life.
Okay.
So you're not getting, you know, like some Juilliard-trained actors or anything, like pretending that they're from the streets dealing with drugs. It's real people. And, you know, it's
telling their truth.
Telling a sort of truth
of,
you know, things like, you know, and just basically giving a fictionalized version of a crime, you know, life in Edmonton, right? So
is this going to be a web series then?
Yeah, it's going to be a web series that Anthony had filmed there for about 2 years ago. He filmed it.
Okay.
So he's been working on post-production for a long time, trying to polish this off, make sure it's like the best thing he can put out there.
100%. That's awesome. And you're involved in the social media promotion,
all the marketing
and
stuff,
amazing,
and helping
them
out, because it's I know so many people that like worked on that project, and I just want to really see it succeed.
Dude, that's fucking
huge,
awesome.
So yeah, and then I'm working on season 2, 5-10 now.
Nice.
So that's going to be really fun. I don't know if you guys have checked out 5-10 yet.
If we haven't, what is it?
Well, if you haven't checked out 5-10, it's a comedy web series based in Nanaimo, BC, and it's basically the West Coast's answer to Trailer Park Boys. We have an ex-con named Stuart Jameson, who recently has been released.
Yeah.
And he's looking for his new niche in life, and he decides he's going to open a cocaine dispensary.
That's the next step. Thanks, Trudeau.
Because, you know, when he got out, he's like, well, what the hell? Like, weed's legal now? I can't sell dime bags anymore? Like,
that's an awesome premise.
Yeah, so he started a cocaine dispensary against the advice that he was given by Ed the Sock, you know?
That's awesome. I feel like I could see that in the news, in weird news, like fucking Tweedledee starts cocaine dispensary, immediately goes to jail.
Like, well, you'll have to watch and see what happens to him at the end of episode 5 on season 1. But season 2, we got some really good ideas that we've been hammering out. And great one for pro wrestling.
Yeah.
So you guys will definitely get a kick out of that one, and I'll let you guys know about that one later. But yeah, been hammering away on that. Did some photo shoots for the Danger Cats for
their
website.
That's
so
awesome.
those have turned out pretty good. And
some awesome photos with some pretty ladies and some bling and bling.
Yeah. Jewelry. Shout out to Kix and DJ Dow Jones at Gold Teeth Canada for those loner necklace pieces.
He lent you some shit, eh?
Oh, yeah.
They're good guys. That's where I got my gold teeth from.
Yeah, they're amazing. Amazing dudes. And Gold Teeth Canada is one of the executive producers of Day One series as well. So,
oh, you know, way to bring it back around, Gavin, you fucking aficionado.
There you go.
I got two separate questions at the end of the show. We're at an hour. I'm going to let you guys plug some shit. But first and foremost, what's your favorite dinosaur, Thad? It's something I ask now.
Favorite dinosaur? It's got to be Velociraptor, man.
Yeah? Is that because you've been spoon-fed how cool Velociraptors are? Or is that because you like Velociraptors?
I just like them.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a bit of spoon feeding there. I mean, come on, Jurassic Park.
Are you biased?
Just because in Jurassic Park, they were the sneaky, you know.
You're talking Jurassic Park, not Jurassic
clever
World.
Clever girls. No, clever girls. Yeah.
Oh, Jurassic World, too, but they're clever. They're the conniving little. T-Rex is the big idiot that's bouncing around.
Fair enough.
Or whatever the other dinosaurs they made. They're portrayed as the.
Watch
clever
out for
guys.
The big one.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. That's a question I like asking people because nowadays nobody gets asked, what's your favorite dinosaur? Gavin, I've already asked you that.
Oh, yeah.
So now I want your opinion, being an Irishman that you are.
Okay.
Are mashed potatoes just Irish guacamole?
Oh, you know what? I saw this meme this week and I just died laughing. Because
what's your thoughts? And is it racist?
No.
Okay.
Why would you?
I just want to make sure we live in 2019.
And it's funny, looking back at all these like old racist Irish like things that like happened in New York and stuff, all these old insults. I'm like, that's not an insult. Like that's what we call each other like at
that's
the
a
dinner
compliment.
Table. Like when we can afford to have dinner. Like
heyo. So mashed potatoes.
Are they
Irish guacamole?
Well, they don't even know what guacamole is over there, so they'd just be like, what? Like, what are you talking? No, they're mashed potatoes.
Chips,
they're mashed potatoes.
I wanted to hear an accent.
Just put the butter in.
I was fishing.
Just put the butter in right now and just eat it. That's all they say. They're like, what's
you,
a guacamole?
Gavin.
They're probably get mad at you. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Guacamole.
Listen. We don't talk like that here with those
it's
words.
A Mexican potato.
You know, like
an avocado is a Mexican potato.
No.
I think so.
There's a giant seed in a fucking, what you call
a
it?
A pit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Avocado pit.
What? There's no fucking pits in potatoes.
You say potato,
I
say
But there's
avocado.
Eyes on potatoes.
Tons of eyes. You ever let them grow? You ever mom forgets it in the pantry and all of a sudden it's like a beast?
I don't eat potatoes. They're bad for you.
Really?
Except for on Fridays.
There it is. Thad,
French fries and Lay's potatoes.
Thad, Gavin, I can't say thank you enough. No Thad, problem. It was a pleasure to sit down, just be in your aura. Gavin, it's always a fucking blast.
Oh, dude, it's a blast being here, man.
Thad, plug some shit. Let us know where we can find you. You know shtick.
Yeah, well, all you got to do is Google Thaddeus Archer III. It's not a very common name. So Instagram, I think I'm on TikTok, but I haven't done much with that recently.
TikTok scares me. I won't let my kid on TikTok either.
No. My daughter's I'm like, no.
You're
12
TikTok.
Years old.
I don't even have kids, and I'm like apprehensive about it for kids.
So. My mother-in-law was like, don't let the kid on TikTok. I'm like, he doesn't have any of the apps right now.
But Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Thaddeus Archer III. That's my channel. On the channel, we have all the stuff there and kind of segmented. Archer Report every Thursday at 10 a.m. We've been a little off and on over the summer break, but we had a break and I was sort of low on footage. Archer Report might not be out this week at 10 a.m. because I want to get one of our hot seat episodes out because it's been sitting for a bit and I've been negligent on it and I feel horrible for the lovely people that came and volunteered their time for me to basically
the
feed them matzo.
Lisa Baker.
You gave us an accent last week.
Yeah,
last time.
Ryan Ford.
Such a great episode with her too. Like
hilarious. But there's that. Plug to Northern Chicken as well. They're always happy to help us out. They always put posters up for PWA. And then, of course, Prairie Wrestling Alliance. Look up PWA online. We have shows every month. The next month, we have Sean Spears from AEW, the chairman of the board, as he's named now. And I'm excited for him to come back because he was just with us recently. He wasn't the chairman then.
Yeah.
And shortly, a few weeks after that, he took the chair to Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to be interesting to see him come back to see how he portrays himself with the crowd now. Second time around, he's actually our PWA Commonwealth champion.
Ah.
He won the title. And so that's obviously why we wanted to have him come back. So he'll be back at the Northgate Lions Senior Center September 28th. I do believe.
Yes.
And you can get tickets for that from message me, shoot into my DMs. So I'll
slide on in.
At our PWA show sponsors, Variant Edition Comics. And shout out to Pause, the Cat Cafe on 109th Street.
Shout out to the Cat Cafe.
Yeah. No, she's wonderful there, Nicole. And they have good coffee. Like,
really good coffee. Yeah, good coffee.
I have cat allergies. Should I sneak in, get a coffee, and fuck off?
Well, yeah, just call ahead and be like, can you bring it to the door? I'll change the cash. Yeah. And then...
Thad sent me.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Let her know that for sure.
Yeah, and so all that together, and that's about it, I think. I don't know. The head's always spinning with more stuff. I know there's we now have training with PWA.
Okay.
We have our school that's starting. We have a ring that is central. It's sort of down by the Canadian Tire, by Kingsway.
Yeah.
And so we have this whole warehouse now, and I want to make a big green screen area for the Archer Report. Maybe even invite Gavin to do some studio filming and photography there.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, I hope to kind of, like, if that carries on and more people come and have a chance to learn from Michael Richard Blaze, one of the best pro wrestlers, then they can put more into it, and maybe we can get a studio there where we can film all kinds of Archer Report stuff all the time, mm-hmm. or even weirder stuff. And I have a web series in mind before I leave that's like Southpaw Regional Wrestling, but at an indie level, and that's I'm hoping that we get to do one day where it's like wrestling, but completely outside the realm of what independent wrestling is, like the storylines, any of the characters. It's going to give a chance for people to just
kind
of let loose.
It's going to be awesome, too, and we can release that.
We'll see if that happens. At the same time, I'll always be doing PWA. Happy to be part of PWA and happy to be part of local wrestling. You know, push it out to people. It's fun to go to once a year. And, you know,
I'll be at the next one because I got to see what happens.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I'm in now. I'm hooked.
And it's not expensive. It's cheap.
No, it's affordable. And can I bring my family?
Absolutely.
Of course. You can bring 100% family friendly. My kids go to the shows. The guys know better. Some companies in town, they might
push it.
And blood and certain things that are just too much. PWA has been the most professional and respected company in this city and province for 18 years for a reason, and that's, they want to keep everybody that comes to the show coming back, even if they're coming back just to spit in my face because I broke their hearts.
I know I will be. That's amazing. Gavin, you want to plug some shit?
Puck Hockey.
Puck Hockey.
PUCKHCKY. If you enter the rink on the website there, when you're checking out, you're going to get 10% off and free shipping on orders over $100.
What?
Puckhockey.com, PUCKHCKY.com.
They're keeping you looking good, and damn it, that's a hard job. Yeah. Anyways, I can't say thank you enough to the both of you. Thad, you're more than welcome to come back on at any point. Come shoot the shit. We'll talk Star Wars next time. Gavin, you just keep showing up, and I love it.
Hey, anytime you guys want me down, I'll be here,
man. You two, the best. Thank you. I'm Alec.
Shumpel Ivan.
Gavin.
Thaddeus Archer III.
Stay awesome.
That was another episode of The Awesome Hour. You can get all our info at theawesomehour.com. Don't forget to rate and review us, follow our social media, and leave a comment below. Stay awesome.